Welcome to the Empowered for Balance podcast, the podcast for busy women of faith on the mission to shift from burnout to balanced. Every episode, certified wellness coach Amma Brew and her guests bring you simple but effective strategies you can implement into your life so you can eliminate stress and burnout forever, make time for self-care, achieve balance, increase productivity, purposefulness, and fulfillment. And now your host, Amma Brew.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us for Empowered for Balance. I'm super excited to have you join us today. And today we're going to talk about resilience and how we can move from trial to triumph. And today I have Elizabeth Myers joining us. She's here to share her story about how she was able to move from a trying situation into triumph. And she's going to share a lot about, you know, what she did to be able to move past her situation. And we're also going to end with some tips about how we can grow spiritually and how we can, you know, practice self-care in general. So hi, Elizabeth, how are you?
Hello, I'm great. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yep, I'm super excited to have you join us. I know you already, but you tell us about you. Who are you?
Yeah. So we're a military family. My husband is active duty Air Force. And so we move a lot and we have 8 biological children, all ours, all same marriage, no twins. I know all the same questions people always ask me, and we homeschool. So, you know, we're a busy family on the go. And unfortunately, most of what I know about self-care comes because I neglected it for so long. And yeah. So I know the consequences of not caring for yourself. And that's how I came to learn and kind of be an advocate for the things I do today. I'm an author and a blogger and a podcaster and just trying to get this message of hope and healing out to as many people as will listen to me.
Yeah.
Because it's important.
Yep. It is important. And let's talk a little bit about homeschooling. I know that's not really the topic today, but I feel like you have a gem right there. I haven't had anybody yet who has done homeschooling. How do you do it?
I've been joking because I'm like, I was really prepared for quarantine. I didn't realize it, but we were already homeschooling because of our large family. We don't eat out because it's too expensive. And I was already dyeing my own roots. So
yeah,
I was ready to go for this year. but yeah, homeschooling has kind of been a journey too. My oldest son is 22 and we started when he was 5, 6.
Wow.
So it's been a while and, you know, I've learned a lot over the years, but I've really enjoyed it. I'm a lifelong learner myself and I've discovered I enjoy teaching as well. And I enjoy that extra time to interact with my kids. Mm-hmm. It does, you know, there is like a lot of togetherness, which sometimes I think it's good to have the opportunity to miss your children.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes, especially when they were younger, I never had that opportunity. And that was part of where my issue with self-care came in, because I was so busy always taking care of everybody else that I didn't take care of me until I crashed. And then I had to face the fact that I needed to take care of myself before I could take care of my family. But we have really enjoyed homeschooling. We haven't always done it. We kind of take it one year at a time and, you know, look at each child and their situation. And some have been to public school for, you know, 1 year or a couple years. Mm-hmm. And we've had great experiences in both homeschooling and with the public schooling that we did. Being a military family, we move around a lot. So we're always in a different school district. So, you know, there's some variation there, but we enjoy it.
Yeah. Wow. And let's break it down a little bit. You mentioned that, you know, the homeschooling was what kind of like led you to having your own issues with self-care. Mm-hmm. So do you want to share a little bit more about what happened to you and your experience?
Yes. And it wasn't really just homeschool itself. It was, I had a really rough year for a lot of, there was like big things and little things that went wrong. You know, friends that I was praying for passed away and marriages I prayed for dissolved. I had this big turmoil in my life over all these things. And the climax of that year was when I lost my baby in the second trimester. I was 14 weeks along and I hadn't really known that, you know, I thought once you got through the first 3 months, you know, you were kind of safe. And I'd heard of, you know, losses that happened towards the end of pregnancy, but kind of in the middle like that was, I just wasn't prepared at all to deal with that. It happened unexpectedly while we were on vacation at my parents' house, and he was just kind of born suddenly at home, and, you know, just just the trauma of holding his little lifeless body in the palm of my hand. And then just because of his age, you know, we don't really have a way to deal with that kind of grief in our culture. Yeah. And unfortunately, the medical people that I interacted with then subsequently didn't really have much compassion. They were pretty indifferent to it and, you know, refused to call him a baby. He was just the products of conception to them and on. But basically, I got stuck in a place of grief and really just struggled with depression. Really rocked my faith in God because I'm like, I had this kind of transactional idea of faith of, oh, if I do all the right things, then God's going to bless me and life's going to be all rainbows and unicorns. And that's not the way faith works. So I just went through a long period of just really struggling and just kind of praying like, God, please take this away. But his plan was for me to kind of walk through a longer journey of making self-care a priority and learning how to build strength and resilience in all these different areas of my life. So now that's what I write and I speak about is helping others to learn that skill. Cause resiliency is not just, you're not either just born with grit, you know, either you have it or you don't. It's a life skill and you can learn how to grow and develop that in many areas of your life.
It's been a big journey for you.
Yes.
And I appreciate you sharing this with us. And I believe that's a woman out there who is going through the same thing would know that there's light at the end of the tunnel, you know?
Yes.
Wow. Let's flip things over. How were you able to get out of this grief and this depression and this, you know, how were you able to overcome it?
So it was really just, I got to the point where I couldn't stand it anymore. I really kind of tried to fake it. I tried to push through and go, I'm okay. I'm all right. You know, and kind of, you know, the culture around us is, oh, you know, you lost a baby, but try again, you know, another pregnancy. Yeah. We have this kind of idea that if you have another baby that will fix it and it doesn't, there's still that hole there. We went on, you know, after that, I had three more rainbow babies. We did three more military moves, you know, in the next 5 years. My husband was a squadron commander. He was deployed. There was just a lot of activity going on. And sometimes we can just bury our pain in our own busyness. And, you know, from the outside, I think, you know, people would look at me and go, oh, she kind of has it together or whatever. Mm-hmm. But on the inside, I was just breaking and just crumbling and really just had kind of a poisoned way of thinking, of way, a perspective that colored everything that happened in life. And for the most part, change is difficult and people don't like to change until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of changing. And I got to that point where I'm just, I have to do something. And I remember distinctly the conversation I had with my husband and I'm like, I don't know what the root cause is. I don't know if I'm tired because I'm depressed or am I exhausted? And that's the reason I'm depressed. You know, is it a physical deficiency that I have? A week after I lost my son, I hemorrhaged and lost a lot of blood and was anemic for a long time and just never really physically recovered from that. Even though my doctor said my blood levels were fine and I wasn't anemic, I continued to feel anemic for like 5 years. And so, you know, I couldn't figure out like, what's the chicken, what's the egg, what's the root cause, you know, is all this happening because I'm angry at God and maybe this is all just a spiritual punishment or something. So I decided just to kind of push forward on all four fronts, as I call them, you know, we're a military family, so we use military language, but spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, I just started taking baby steps in each of those four things. And it was not a miraculous, like overnight, boom, everything's better.
Yep.
It was a very slow, gradual journey, just one step and just take what's the next best baby step that I can do today. And it was just very gradual healing over time. But I learned so much through that part of my life that I'm like, I have to share this with other people because there's other people suffering and going through these things.
Yeah.
And I really feel like God has given me some things that could bless others. Mm. And he doesn't just bless us so that we'll be blessed alone. He blesses us for that, but also so that we can be a blessing to others. And that's really what I feel called to be doing now.
Wow. Wow. And I'm so happy what you mentioned that you had that facade. And I, you know, I talk a lot about that a lot of us women, we have the facade, you know, we wake up in the morning, we put on the makeup, our hair's done, everything looks good. We are smiling. But in reality, there's something inside of us that's eaten us up. And, you know, you're right. You know, and you went through that experience where until you dealt with what was going on inside, you were having all these physiological symptoms and you couldn't even figure out what was the root cause, you know? So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how you were able to overcome this. Yeah, I know you mentioned different areas of self-care. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. For me, the first biggest, hardest step was just kind of overcoming the unnecessary shame and guilt that I felt, you know, having a mental illness issue, as you know, particularly as a Christian. I'm like, Christians are supposed to be joyful and full of peace, and I'm not, and what's wrong with me, and why can't I just pray and make this go away? You know, I had all these kind of false rosy images of how God should be at work in my life that weren't really grounded on the truth. It was just kind of a fairy tale that I had, I had swallowed. Now my faith is grounded on a much firmer foundation. I've finally decided that I don't want a God that I can understand. I don't want God to answer all my questions. I want a God that I can trust even when I don't understand.
Yeah.
Because any God that I could understand is too small to be worthy of my worship anyway. So that's where I started, was just trying to reconnect with God. I had kind of just slowly pulled away. I kind of felt, well, if he really loved me, he would heal me. He would bring some miraculous person into my life that would fix everything, or, you know, this problem would go away. And so I had decided that, well, if that's not happening, then God doesn't love me. So I reconnected, you know, just spending quiet time in the Bible in the morning. And I had been in this place where I was filtering what I knew about God, or what I would read in his word, through my experiences. And I go, well, that's not true. You know, God doesn't really take care of me. God doesn't really love me. And what was critical for me was flipping that filter around and just saying, there's a chapter in my book, Undefeated, that's called Believe Anyway. And it's just believe that God's word is true, that he does love us, he does care for us. And now, knowing that fact, now I filter my experiences through his love and go, okay, he's not acting maliciously towards me. So why is this thing happening in my life? And a lot of times we don't get the answer to why that's happening. Mm-hmm. But I learned to ask a more important question, which is, Lord, what can I learn from this?
Yeah.
What are you trying to teach me? Or how can I grow closer to you in this difficulty, rather than pulling away like I did? Because I realized later, you know, when I pull away from God, I've cut myself off from the only source of healing that there is. You know, I try to like pull away and fix my problem on my own. But bringing our doubts and our questions to him is where we can find that relief and that healing. He's not bothered by our questions. I know I talked to some people who were, you know, if I'd start to say, well, why did God, or, you know, does God really care? People would like shush me and go, oh, you know, don't say anything negative about God. But God's not that way. He's a big boy. He's heard all these questions before, and he can handle our doubts and our, when we don't understand. And the scripture is full of examples of people who just cry out to God and say, Lord, I don't understand, you know, but I'm going to trust you anyway. And so that was kind of the place I came to spiritually. And I started journaling in the morning. So that was kind of all spiritually what I did. Emotionally, I did get professional Christian counseling, which was very helpful to me. I'm a big advocate of that. I know there are a lot of great, wonderful, well-meaning people in the church who are very biblically grounded and they have great advice, but that is not the same as a trained Christian counselor.
Exactly.
And I think we need both. And there are some people who are both, but more often than not, it's helpful to have a kind of spiritual counselor, but also a somebody who's been trained in psychological mechanisms and the way that the mind works. Just like the way that our body works, you know, you need a doctor. You don't just trust your pastor to fix your health issues.
to do your surgery.
Exactly. Right. So I did seek that. And one of her recommendations was, because I had a lot of ups and downs. And so she said, when you're feeling okay, write a letter to your depressed self and remind her why life is worth living and why there is a reason to hope. And so that's what I was journaling in the morning too, while I was writing down scriptures that meant something to me. You know, I was jotting down these notes to my depressed self. And that's ultimately what became my book. It's Undefeated, From Trial to Triumph. And right now I'm trying to finish the second one, which is Undaunted. And it's kind of the continuation of that, of all these things that I do to stay in a healthy place. So that was kind of emotionally, I went through a lot of healing there. I went through grief therapy. I did EMDR. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a counseling technique that helps you recover from trauma. Really, I had a traumatic situation And your brain and your body stores traumatic memories much differently than your regular memories. So they kind of need to be dealt with differently. Hmm. And then physically, I did get on an antidepressant. I had heard so many sermons that are like, a pill won't fix everything. And so I kind of had this myth in my head that, oh, Christians shouldn't take mental health medication. But that was wrong. And it's true, you know, it didn't fix everything. But what the medication did was it bumped me up to the point where I could do the other things I needed to do to make self-care a priority. Because mm-hmm. when you're depressed, you don't care about yourself at all. You know, you don't, and in the dark points, you don't care if you live or die. You know, there's no, it's like, what's the point? Why should I take care of myself?
Yeah.
So the medication got me up just enough to where I could do that. You know, I started trying to exercise and eat better. So physically was another one. And then mentally, and that kind of ties into with the Bible, but just changing the way I thought about everything. My thinking had been so poisoned by the depression and anxiety that I was feeling and just kind of reprogramming things. It was huge for me to realize that every thought that pops into my head is not true and has not earned the right to be there, that mm-hmm. I'm the gatekeeper. And I can tell that thought, nope, that's not right. And you're not allowed here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I might have to say it to that same thought every day for a while till it finally goes away. But I get to control that and rather than be a victim of my thoughts. And that was very, very helpful to me.
Wow. And so I know that, you know, with the book, you wrote the book out of this experience. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So the first book is Undefeated: From Trial to Triumph, How to Stop Fighting the Wrong Battles and Start Living Victoriously. And the premise is that a lot of times we feel defeated because we don't realize the true nature of the battle we're in. And we tend to assign blame to, you know, other people or you know, groups of people who believe differently than we do, or to circumstances, you know, to a health situation or a financial crisis, or, you know, some conflict we're having with a person. And ultimately our real battle is against spiritual forces. Yeah. We're not meant to be fighting against one another. That's like friendly fire, really. That's fighting the wrong enemy.
Yeah.
And so the book is all built around, the first part is the believe anyway section of just dealing with questions and doubts. Where's God in our suffering? You know, that age old question that I think is the root of many of our faith-based fumblings. When we stumble around, when we lose our way, a lot of times it's because we can't see what God's doing in the midst of our pain.
Yeah.
So that kind of deals with that. And then the rest of the book is about knowing God, knowing who your real enemy is, and it's not who you think. And then knowing who you are, your true identity in Christ, that you're beloved, that you're a warrior, that you're created for victory. You're not meant to live defeated, but you have to go claim that. You know, I tell people, it's like, you've been given the winning lottery ticket, but you still have to get off the couch and go claim it. You don't, the money doesn't just fall out of the sky and drop in your lap. You have to get up and do something. So that's the first book. The second book is Undaunted, Your Battle Plan for Victorious Living, Winning at Life Through Building a Strong Spirit, Soul, and Body. And then that goes much more into detail of what I've just told you about the steps that I took to get to a healthier place and other things that I've learned. You know, now I've been doing that for over a decade. And so just things I've learned along the way, but that's all packaged in the second book that I'm trying to get out here in the next few months.
Wow. This is good stuff. And hey, if you haven't yet subscribed, please hit the subscribe button, because every week we're coming to you with an interview or with an episode that has a lot of information that's, you know, set to help you live a more balanced and a more stress-free life and to move forward in life from whatever it is that is, you know, blocking you or being an obstacle in your life as a woman of faith who is trying to achieve big things. All right, Elizabeth, let's talk a little bit about, you know, coronavirus. And I believe that, you know, your book and everything you've said can be tied to this whole crisis that we find ourselves in. I know that a lot of women are devastated. People are asking God, why? Why are people dying? Why are people sick? Why are we losing our jobs? What's going on here? Why are we in this situation? What would you tell the woman out there who has given up and feels like, oh, God hasn't been good enough, and you know, she doesn't deserve to be in this position, and no matter what the situation is, you know, she feels like she's defeated, you know, like it's the end of it, she's given up. What would you tell that woman?
Yeah, so I have two things. One is like I stated before, it's identifying the right enemy. The enemy is not coronavirus or financial troubles or a different political party or, you know, a certain thing going on. Those are all from a spiritual, those are important, and I'm not trying to minimize anything, but from a spiritual perspective, those are distractions. That's how the enemy derails us to fight each other about those topics instead of resisting him.
Yeah.
Scripture says, resist the devil and he'll flee. But if we're busy fussing at somebody who thinks differently than we do, or, you know, stressed about health issues or frustrated about financial issues, then we're not, you know, spending our time before God seeking victory over a real enemy. And I think that God can use those negative and those stressful things in our life to bring about good things. There's a, you know, a scripture that says you intended this for evil, but God meant it for good. I believe that God can redeem anything that we surrender to him. Even, you know, the most, the worst thing that you can imagine, God can bring good out of those things, even if the person who did it or the thing that kicked it off was not, you know, had purely evil intentions. God can turn all that around. There's nothing that's too big for him to handle. And so I think that would be the first key, would be focusing on the right enemy and realizing it's not these other things. And then the second would be just turning to God, rather than being, again, focused on the issues, focus on who God is. I know when I look at God, then my other problems seem smaller.
It's true.
It's like, you got to kind of look past the problems and focus on him. And I know when I was younger, I used to think it was really arrogant of God that he wanted us to praise him. You know, I thought he was like, you know, wanting us to stroke his ego or something. But I realized over time that it's really, he doesn't need us to tell him how awesome he is. He knows. And it, you know, but it's for us, it's for our sake, because when I praise God, then the problems I'm dealing with seem smaller. They don't seem so threatening, because I know my God is bigger than all that. And oh, by the way, in this enemy or this battle where we're facing our enemy, it's not like God and the devil are co-equal enemies fighting each other.
No,
God is superior and he's in charge. He's already won the whole war. We sometimes get a little scuffed up in the battles, and you know, sometimes there's a prisoner of war kind of situation. But the war is already won and the enemy's already defeated, and he knows that. But we forget it sometimes. And I think that what the devil tries to do is, if he knows he can't outright defeat us, but he'll try to make us feel defeated. He'll try to make us accept a defeat that's not ours, that we don't need to claim. So just claiming that victory that Christ has won for us and saying, sorry, devil, you got to scoot, because, you know, you're not going to bring me down with this. It's all kind of antics and, you know, puffed up, trying to intimidate us. And too often it works and we get focused on those instead of focused on Christ and what he's done.
And I usually call those things the battles of the mind, you know, where he always tries to make us feel defeated and guilty, when in reality we are conquerors, because we've called ourselves children of God, and we are children of God. And the king's daughter is a princess. You know, she doesn't need to beg anybody to be called a princess, as long as she's the king's daughter. Genetically, she has his blood, so she's a princess. But then the devil will come and tell you, no, you're not a princess, when in reality you are a princess. And then when you believe it, then it's like you feel defeated, when in reality you are a conqueror. So I love that.
I think staying in God's word and staying connected to him through prayer are key to doing that. When we spend more time watching the news or looking at social media than we do in our word, in God's word, or spending time with him, of course we're going to feel defeated and beat up. I mean, their whole system is based on keeping you on that channel or on that app longer. And they know that they can do that, you know, even like chemically, through controversy and through stirring up trouble, and that actually false reports and information get spread more than the truthful ones do. And so it's all kind of a big marketing thing, but it has detrimental effects on all of us in the way that we think and the way that we process things. And I, you know, for people who are feeling discouraged or depressed about the current situation, I say turn off the news for as long as, you know, delete the app off your phone. The world's not going to fall apart if you don't know every little thing that's happening every day, but we just, we're not created to handle that bombardment of information, and it's all negative information that hits us all the time. We need to spend our time before God and say, God, you can handle this. I can't figure it out. I can't fix it, but I know the one who can, and I'm going to spend my time with him.
Yeah. And it's so funny because, you know, that's one thing that high achieving women and strong women, or women who are goal driven, sometimes it's hard for us to depend on God, because we think that it's just, you know, if I set the goals and I do what I have to do, then it's going to be successful. So sometimes we think that it's our power. We have the power to do it or to succeed in whatever it is that we're going through, when in reality, we just have to surrender. So sometimes the submission part of submitting our will and everything to God is very hard, you know? Yeah, so what would you say to a woman like that? Yeah,
I do that where I just feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders. You know, and especially as a mother, and, you know, I've got to protect all my children from these things, and I can't always be there. And I, you know, all these decisions, or sometimes I get into that mindset of, well, if I don't do X, Y, Z, then nobody will, you know, I'm the one that needs to step up. And I can just totally be weighed down by those things. And there's been some times where I just do that naturally, and I don't realize it until I get to the point where I'm like really, really just exhausted, and I really just actually can't handle it. And I get to that point where I just pray and I say, Lord, I can't deal with this thing that's stressing me, or this thing I'm trying to decide, or this thing that needs a solution. You know, I want to fix it. I want your thing about Superwoman syndrome. I want to be Superwoman. That sounds really cool, but I'm not, you know. And just surrendering to him in that moment of prayer and saying, I can't do this. I just need you to take this and you handle it. And, you know, the Bible talks about cast your burdens on him, or cast your cares on him, because he cares for you. But that sounds a little bit too, I don't know, nebulous to me. It hadn't really hit me. But if I think of, not in a disrespectful way, of course, but if I kind of think of like delegating to God, like, okay, you know, I have all these things. I'm going to give this one to you. Not that that's an incorrect frame. Yep. You know, obviously I don't delegate to God, but in my little pea brain, that helps me just go, okay, this is not my responsibility anymore. It's his responsibility. Yeah. And I mean, truly he's Lord over all. So the fact that I think I have control or authority over anything is really kind of ridiculous, but with my little brain, the way it works, that just helps me to think of it that way sometimes. I really actually feel the physical relief of, okay, that's not my thing. He's got that thing. Yep. And it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And also just through experience, just learning over time after time, that his way of fixing the thing is much better than my way.
Of course.
Something I never would have thought of, or never would have tried, or been like, oh no, that's a bad idea. But you know, God's ways are higher and better than ours. And it just comes down to trusting him and letting him do that, letting go of the thing so that he can do the work.
You've shared a lot with us. We've spoken a lot, but there's one thing that stuck to me, and that's the part about learning to recognize and accept the feelings that we have, because from what you're telling me, until you got to that point where you were able to understand and recognize that, hey, this is a problem I have and I need to work on it, there was no change. So would you want to speak a little bit, you know, to that, you know, the importance of us actually learning to accept the feelings, you know, because sometimes, you know, as Christian women, it's like, oh, okay, I'm angry, I'm upset, but I'm not going to talk about it because I know God is going to take care of it. But sometimes in reality, you just acknowledging that feeling is like 50% of dealing with it. Instead of suppressing it. So let's talk a little bit about the, you know, how important is it for us as women or women of faith to learn to at least even accept the feeling? Not, I'm not saying act on the feeling, but at least recognize and accept how we feel in any given situation. How important is it for us to do that?
Yeah, I think that that's critical. It's just like you said, I couldn't move forward or find healing or get unstuck until I admitted what was going on. You know, when I try to kind of stuff it or hide it or ignore it doesn't go away. And you could draw a parallel to if you have a physical, say, wound that's infected, you know, if you don't take it to the doctor, if you just keep it covered, it's just going to get worse. If you have an issue with your car, but you refuse to surrender it to the mechanic, it's not going to get fixed. And you know, if the more you try to hide a problem, it's not going to go away. It's going to grow and get worse to the point where your car or your body or your mind or your spirit break down. and kind of that's where I kind of ultimately got to. So it's that act of surrendering and trusting and letting God handle it. But I think too, like you're saying, it's accepting that we're human and that it's okay. You know, I think sometimes we have these, like I have the impression that a Christian shouldn't be depressed. And then I would add a burden of guilt onto everything else because I'm like, you know, my life is going well. I have a great husband. He's got a great job. I have no right to feel the way I do. And so then on top of everything else, I put a big old rock of guilt. And that doesn't help anything, but just to acknowledge it. And for me, what's been super helpful in that is the Psalms. There are a lot of Psalms where people are just outright honest about how they feel. And if I'm sometimes maybe uncomfortable about, well, you know, can I pray this? Can I say that to God? You can pray back scripture to God with full confidence because they're his words. You know, if you can't quite find the words to express what it is you're trying to feel, I guarantee somewhere in scripture, there's somebody else who's felt something similar and has put that into words. And I can just pray that Psalm to God. I'm so encouraged by the fact elsewhere in scripture, it says both the Holy Spirit and Jesus are interceding for us. So, you know, I can pray the best I can, but they're both kind of interpreting that into a better prayer for me, you know? And even just sometimes just crying is, can be a prayer. You know, I'm just crying in the Lord's presence and I don't know what to do, but just acknowledging that he's there in the midst of my pain, that is even like an avenue of prayer, of just feeling that connection in the midst of whatever emotion it is that I'm going through. But hiding them and covering up is not healthy. And I'm naturally prone that way anyway. I think just partly because of my personality, I'm just kind of a private person. And then also, you know, I grew up as a dancer. So it's that stage mentality of the stage presence and, you know, the show must go on, kind of no matter what happens, just act like you meant to do it and keep going. And so I just kind of have that training, I guess, in my history. And then being in the military, you know, where you have military bearing and you're not allowed to ever show emotion. So you
were in the military too?
Yeah.
I thought it was just your husband.
Well, that's, we met there. So I was active duty too. And then I got promoted to motherhood is what I say. I did the full-time working mom thing for about 6 months. And then it was not for me. I know a lot of women make that work and for a lot that's fulfilling things, but it was not what I was called to do. And so I put up my combat boots and traded it for baby bottles.
And I'm so happy you mentioned something about even crying, because sometimes when you're going through a lot and, you know, emotionally you're not doing well as a woman, or maybe you have some crisis going on, it's hard to pray sometimes. You can't even find the words to pray. So I'm so happy you mentioned that, even going before God and crying, sometimes the ums and the ahs are all translated by God into a prayer, because it's a way of expressing how you're feeling, expressing the pain. So I'm so happy that you mentioned that, you know, that, you know, yes, we want to pray, we want to do the warfare and pray the prayer and be all, but sometimes when it's hard and the words are not coming, just going before God and just even crying it out and bearing it all out is a prayer to God. And he's going to take that and know that, yes, my daughter is in pain. That's why she's crying. So,
yeah. And another thing in that vein I like to do too, is just breathing prayers of either I sit or lay down, and just with every time I exhale, I think of something I want to get rid of or let go of, you know, and it could be stress or anxiety or, you know, negative thoughts I'm having about someone or some situation. And then as I breathe in, I think about the attributes of God or his power that I want to inhale, or I want more of in my life, you know, less of me and more of him. And just as I slowly breathe, and it could just be a word, it could just be kind of a feeling that I don't even put words with, you know, but I just think about, oh, I want to let go of this thing that's bothering me. And I want to soak up more of God. And so to me, that's also a very helpful way to just kind of process with things that are too big or too hairy for me to really deal with verbally, or even, you know, communicate to another person. But just knowing that God understands me, even when I can't find the right words, and it's okay. I don't know why we get into this thing as Christians of when we pray out loud, we have to use flowery words and stuff, because we don't talk to anybody else that way. And really, it's just a communication thing yeah. with God. Yeah. So I do have a prayer guide on my website. It's yep. elizabethmyers.me. And mm-hmm. you can see on there, there's a free prayer guide that people can download. It's based off of the Lord's Prayer, which was mm-hmm. huge for me, because I used to kind of just be gimme, gimme, gimme. It was my prayers felt like a wish list for Santa Claus. And I was kind of like, Lord, how do I pray better? And, you know, he pointed me to the scripture where the disciples asked the same thing. Lord, teach us mm-hmm. to pray. And so I just kind of follow that as a model. And as I dug more into it, you know, I've always known it from rote for as long as I can remember. You know, I was a little bitty when I learned it. And I can just rattle it off without even thinking about the words. But when I really dug into what is this actually saying, it is so rich and so powerful. And yeah. That has made all the difference in my ability to communicate with God in a way that feels real and effective to me, and not just some flowery church thing or not yeah. some wish list.
Yeah. Yeah. I have really enjoyed this conversation, because I believe that we've spoken about certain deep things that I would say that many women deal with, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's kind of like the elephant in the room, yeah. you know, that nobody really wants to talk about, especially dealing with the pain inside. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes we get angry at God because of what we are going through. But I believe that you sharing here is gonna inspire that woman out there who has been affected by whatever is going on this year, or who has been going through things even before this whole pandemic happened. Yeah. That I believe it's going to be very inspirational for that woman, and to let her realize that, yes, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. You know, you can bounce back. You're not defeated. Mm-hmm. You know, God is with you through everything that you're going through, and God is going to turn it out for your good as long as you continue to depend on him. Because mm-hmm. I always say that the one thing that the devil always tries to steal from us is our hope in God, because mm-hmm. when you get your hope in God, he's got you. It's like yeah. you're defeated, you're done. Right. But mm-hmm. no matter what's going on around us, if we continue to hope in God and place our hope in God and not give up on God, he's gonna show up eventually, mm-hmm. because God has a big ego, you know. And as long as we said we are his children, mm-hmm. he's going to make sure that he shows up for us so that he doesn't get disgraced, mm-hmm. or people don't laugh at him, you know, right. for disappointing us. So yeah. as long as we continue to hope in God, then yes, mm-hmm. we will come out with a triumph. So I love that. And yeah. where can we find your book? I think your book is a must read. Where can we find it?
Yeah, it's online anywhere you buy books, like Amazon or Barnes and Noble. It's Undefeated: From Trial to Triumph. And the next one will be out shortly, but I've got to agree with you on all that. And I'm so grateful that God is always faithful, even yeah. when we aren't, because I really went through a period where I was not faithful to God in my heart or in my thoughts. Outwardly, I kind of still went through the motions, but I feel like I let go of his hand, but he never let go of mine.
Yeah.
know? Yeah. And I think of if I were crossing a busy street with my child, mm. I wouldn't just trust her to hold my hand. You know, I'd have a grip on her.
Yep.
And I feel like that's God's got a grip on us. You know, even when we feel like we're slipping or we're falling away or we're not getting it right, or we're not doing this or that, or we're not adequate, which we aren't. And that's okay, because he's all sufficient. He's always holding our hand. Yeah. And it's not up to us. We can take that burden, that pressure off of us, because he's going to be the one who's faithful and comes through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. What are your last words for us? You know, let's sum it all up.
Yeah, well, I think you really hit on it, is hope. That's a big message that I like to, there's always a reason to hope, even when you can't see it. And God is always with you, even if you can't perceive it, if you can't feel him. Or I struggled for years feeling like God had abandoned me. And I really just thought he wasn't there. The day that my son died, we went to the hospital and they took his body, and they wouldn't let me have it back to bury him. So they cremated him and they put him in a garden there. So on our way out of the hospital, that was just the hardest thing I ever had to do, was leave the hospital without my son's body. Wow. And we walked over to the little garden where they said that they were going to bury him. And there was kind of a thunderstorm rumbling in the distance, and kind of in that rumble, I just kind of felt in my spirit, like God said, I'm with you. Mm. And then that was like the last I heard it from him for years. And so I just felt so betrayed. I felt like he had let me down. But now I can go back and look and see how he was there all along. He was just taking my flimsy faith and rebuilding it on a stronger foundation. So I just want to, my message to people is, there's always a reason to hope. And God is always with you. He's always working, and you don't have to figure it out. You don't have to figure out why or what he's doing or how this or that happened. It's just like we talked about earlier, it comes back to just trusting God that he's big and he's good and he's got this. Yeah. And there, you know, I'm not denying that there are going to be hard times and hard days and bad things happen, but God is still good in the midst of that. Even when our little brains have trouble reconciling it, it's not because he's bad. It's because we just don't have enough understanding to be able to comprehend his greatness.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Yep. On that note, I'd want to say thank you so much for coming, Elizabeth. I really appreciate you taking time off to have this conversation and to share with us. And thank you so much for sticking with us till the end. This has been Empowered for Balance. I hope to see you next week. And again, if you haven't subscribed or followed us, please do follow us and also on social media at Empowered for Balance. You're going to see it scrolling down there. And that way you can get all the notifications when we have new episodes uploaded. Take care of yourself and have a lovely week. Bye.
You've been listening to the Empowered for Balance podcast with Amabru. Thank you for being here. Remember to check us out on social media and on YouTube at Empowered for Balance. See you next time. And remember that the true empowered woman lives a balanced life.